You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tune in to Training Camp Daily tonight as my partner here, Nathan Zagura, joins Jim Donovan to discuss the Browns' defense and Justin Gilbert's chances of opening the season as a starting cornerback, maybe. That's all tonight at 10:30 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. Check it out. All right, we are joined right now very happily by our great friend and one of the top general managers, executives in the National Football League for many, many years. He is now an analyst for NFL Network, and he has been out here checking out Browns practices, Charlie Casserly. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I'm excited. Boy, the fans ought to see this studio. It's impressive.
You like you like it bathing in orange here, huh?
Oh, I tell you what, I had to put the sunglasses on.
Yeah, we got something going on here. It's nice. And look, Charlie, we've been talking about this issue, and I know you could speak to it from a lot of standpoints, and not the least of which is putting on your hat as a former GM. But the Josh Gordon story and the test results getting such intricate details now as his hearing, which is supposed to be Friday, is approaching. Your thoughts just on the mass amount of detail that seems to favor the possibility of him maybe not facing a suspension or at all or a shorter one.
Well, there seems to be, this is just a guess, a method to the leak. So I would say this is the defense team getting their story out in the public. That's number one. Number two, many times when these things seem to be going down for the player, where it seems the player has failed the drug test and he's facing a suspension, one of the strategies to beat it, I guess we saw this with Ryan Braun, okay, is you attack the system. And whether it's a faulty test, a faulty carrying of the sample, okay, you can think back to situations I can in the league where this is how the defense was able to win for the player, okay, on a technicality, so to speak. So, you know, how this is going to come out, we'll wait and see with the league rules. But it's usually the only defense in these situations.
In your experience, have you seen a lot of situations where, you know, the player gives one urine sample, it's broken into two specimens, A and B, and one has a positive and the other has a negative? Is that something that occurs normally?
No, it, to my knowledge, it doesn't. Of course, most of us are not privy to this knowledge in the first place. But I'm just thinking back through all my years in the league about the players that were, it was public that you knew that they won. Many times it came into something to do with the test and arguing the validity of the test.
Charlie, how, as a GM, does a team handle a situation where there's been such an unknown? You're well into camp at this point, and I guess we're going to take the assumption here, based on reports, that by Friday we should have where it stands with Josh Gordon. But meanwhile, you're preparing your team. You've got to have repetitions, and he's involved in them, and he may or may not be involved in the season. How does a team go about handling that?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, it's early in camp. So if a decision is made now, that's the best thing to happen if you're going to lose him. All right, they've already started to replace him. Now, the Browns didn't draft a receiver, had some opportunities, chose other players, went with other players they had higher on their board, which in the long run probably will make them a better football team. In the short run, it might hurt them at wide receiver. But, you know, bringing in Miles Austin, Nate Burleson, you know, some veteran players, you're not going to get probably legitimate players available in June, all right? But Miles Austin is a legitimate player who's had injuries. Nate Burleson has been a good number two, has injuries recently, okay? So there's a gamble on both of these guys. Chances are those gambles don't usually work out for 16 games, but you have to take them. So my point is you try to prepare for the eventuality the player won't be here. Early on, you can't spend a lot of time with this player running with the first team. You've got to work everybody else in, give him reps to be in shape. If he's here, you can get him back on the first team immediately. If he's not going to be here, well, then you got to move on with the other players for now.
Charlie, as you look at this Browns team right now coming out to camp today, what stood out to you about what is going to end up ultimately carrying this team if it is to have any success?
Well, defensively, they got a playoff caliber defense. I think they're going to be tough to run against. I think they have a chance to rush the passer. I like Sherrard as a rusher. Mingo will be a key if he can graduate to the next step. In order to do that, I think he's going to have to become more diversified in his pass rush moves. I think the cornerback position is – Joe Hayden, obviously, is a good player. And the one I watched him this morning, which wasn't a lot, he was terrific when I watched him. I think Justin Gilbert will be a quality corner in the league, and Buster Skrime is an excellent third corner, backup number two corner. So I think they've got strength on defense. This is where this team is going to be good.
The quarterback situation with Johnny Manziel obviously taking literally his first snaps in an NFL training camp, and then Brian Hoyer, what has been your assessment of that quarterback battle?
Well, I think you have to be careful. It's a little bit early, only second day of padded practice, have to get into games. I think when Manziel, you have to view this as a learning experience. He's learning a totally new offense, and that's going to take time. So right now he's going to be inconsistent. This is what you expect them to be. I think you have to give this thing a year and see where you go with it. Brian Hoyer is a smart guy, knows where to go with the ball. I think he's ahead in the competition. Coaches raved to me about accuracy. I don't think today maybe was one of his better days. You know, balls were all over the place today,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, they were.
If the fans were any closer, they would have had souvenirs. But, you know, it wasn't his shining day on, especially accuracy long. You know, his success is going to come because he knows where to go with the ball, can get it there on timing, and has playmakers around him. And he'll move the chains. That's how he's going to have to be successful.
As a former GM, you're kind of in a unique position to kind of evaluate what's happened here in Cleveland, knowing all the turmoil, all the change. How would you evaluate what Ray Farmer and his staff have done, basically taking over so close to the draft and getting this team that you see now on the field ready for 2014?
Well, I like draft one of Ray Farmer. If Ray Farmer has a draft every year like this, this team is going to get to the playoffs and be successful. And I think the best thing Ray Farmer did, he had a good draft, don't get me wrong, he got two number ones next year. The Buffalo trade, I think, was tremendous for them because I think Buffalo's going to struggle to win. I think you're going to have a top 10 pick from Buffalo wherever you finish this year. Now you have two ones. Now you control some of the draft next year. But I can't emphasize enough. I like a lot of things about this draft. I like Betonio in the second round's a starter. I think West's going to be a starter at some point. Manziel, you know, he's a quarterback. You just see what happens there. And finally, I think Gilbert will be a starter.
Well, to talk about West and Ben Tate and this running game and then transitioning to this outside zone scheme that Kyle Shanahan likes to run, how difficult a transition is that but is it realistic to see a positive result with a running game being dramatically improved for this team because it can only go one place but up?
Well, I'd be disappointed if the running game doesn't improve dramatically and isn't good. I think Kyle's issue is going to be managing what offense he's running between if he tries to run some of the RG3 offense with Manziel, which is, you know, mix in some zone read that cuts down on a pass rush, simplifies the coverages, or the straight total zone running game in the bootleg. Okay, how he manages that, well, he's done it before, so he can do it. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, all right? But I think the zone running game, I don't want to say it's simple, but I think Tate has already done it. We know that. That's a fact. I watched Terrence West in college. First time I saw this guy, I said to myself, Gary Kubiak, meaning zone running game, would love this guy. I think he's a natural at it.
Yeah, he certainly seems to be a quick study. Charlie Casserly from NFL Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Charlie, the AFC North seems to be a division that in many ways could be a little bit wide open. How do you see the Browns fitting into that division this year?
Well, the defense is good enough to win it. Okay, the offense is going to be dependent upon a couple things. How well the quarterbacks play, and is Josh Gordon here or not here? Because Gordon's another level now.
Right.
Gordon's a Pro Bowl player. He's one of the premier receivers in the league. There is a huge drop-off after Josh Gordon. I like Hawkins in the slot. I think he can move the chains. But if all you have is Hawkins, that's not going to scare defenses. So they need Josh Gordon in order to be able to contend here. I think the thing is somewhat wide open. Let's face it, Baltimore and Pittsburgh went down to the last game of the year to be in the playoffs last year. Not great records, but they could have been in the playoffs.
And Mike Pettine, just an assessment on a guy becoming a first-year head coach. You know his track record as an assistant. What do you see him doing making that transition to head coach?
Well, passion is the one thing that jumps out at you with Mike Pettine. And passion's important because players feed off that. Fans feed off that. You could see this is important to him and he cares. No question about his ability, I think, as a defensive coordinator. And I think Kyle Shanahan has got a lot of ability as an offensive coordinator. One of the things Mike's going to have to do is become a head coach, and that's manage the whole football team, manage the schedule, game day decisions, discipline, motivation. So, and I think he'll do it.
Charlie, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your insights. Awesome stuff. He is Charlie Casserly. Again, check out his great work at NFL Network. We have got in NFL.com as well, his written components. We're going to wrap it up today. We're going to thank Charlie Casserly for joining us. Don Banks from Sports Illustrated was also with us today. Travis Benjamin, wide receiver for the Browns, kick returner. The Rabbit was here as well. Want to thank our tremendous producer, Jason Gibbs, and Matt Fontana for his work in putting this show together and keeping us on the rails. And thank you for joining us throughout. Coming up is Hooley and Gerard. That'll take over after we leave the air. For Nathan, I am Vic, saying we will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Free Josh Gordon.